Hi, everybody. Welcome to the newest edition of Making Waves here on LakeChelanNow.com.
Ho, ho, ho. Why, look, it's Mr. Steve. And there's Mr. Ray. Hello, Mr. Ray. And there's Dennis, too. You kids been good boys?
And we're making waves.
Wow, that's got to be our best opening ever, Steve.
He asked if I'd been good, and you too, come to think about it.
Why, Santa's always a good boy.
We're looking forward to this. It's out of control already, folks, you can probably tell, but we're going to have a lot of fun today. This is going to be our special holiday edition of Making Waves here on LakeChelanNow.com. Dennis Rahm, Steve Bykwist, we're here with Jerry Eisenhart and Ray Dobbs, a bunch of old, I'm not going to use the one word, but a bunch of old radio guys that have been kicking the tires. Ray, what number did we come up with in our years of experience?
I think your wife added it twice, 168.
Wow. Yeah. I guess we're just old.
I don't feel that old. Now, stop that. Let's go somewhere else with this.
So, anyway, lots of broadcast background here in this room right now, and we've been talking about getting together for a show, and we thought, Jerry, no better time, really, than to do it at the holiday times, and if there's anybody in this valley that is synonymous with Christmas and Santa Claus, it would be Mr. Eisenhart.
Well, thank you. I have to tell you that Santa's a lucky, lucky guy to be able to spend 29, 30 years in the valley at the radio station with boys and girls that, before he was done, were bringing their kids and sometimes their kids' kids to visit with him and sit on their laps. And what a great experience.
Some of the locations that Santa has appeared in the valley over time, very diverse. I remember, for instance, Western Auto, Coast to Coast, Franklin Furniture, places that are now changed. The buildings are still there. And in one case, Western Auto would be where Schlan Realty is, for instance.
Peterson's, L. and Linda Peterson's market.
Did we do bowling? Did we do the turkey bowling in there during the Christmas season? There was a time we did where you line up. We had a Pepsi promotion. And we lined up 2-liter bottles and used a turkey as the bowling ball. You ever doing that? That may have been a Thanksgiving promotion, not Christmas.
I think that was at the North Pole, Mr. Ray.
Only Linda and Al Peterson would let you get away with something like that. They were great.
One of the early stories I wanted to get to before I forget is Santa did make appearances in and around Chelan, downtown area, talking with the kids. We carried that over on more than one occasion to Christmas Eve. And the secret was to really fill the entire valley with sounds of Santa. And the only way you could do that was from the boat. So we launched a boat, my boat, as I remember, in, 8 o'clock in the evening, something like that, cold, snowy Christmas Eve, put great big loudspeakers on it, and in fact, even on one occasion, had loudspeakers up by the golf course and tied the two together with two-way radios, and then we went out and chatted with the kids in the dark. They didn't know where the sound was coming from, but we filled the valley with Santa.
We cruised up the Chelan River under the bridge and out past Barney Sloganoff's house, almost out past Lake Chelan Shores. And as I just remembered as well, going by Barney Sloganoff's house and Santa saying, "Ho, ho, ho, Barney Sloganoff, have you been a good boy?"
And Barney said,
"We never heard back."
I'm guessing Barney met you on the dock with a Manhattan.
I believe that you also spoke to some young kids over in the area of Chelan Hills that we know very well.
Still a memorable memory for the Martinson family, and we, Tony and Linda, were just arriving home, and they had been to some family event, and stepped out of the car to hear out of the pure black, "Tony Martinson, ho, 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 have you been a good boy?" And Linda, Elizabeth, who was no doubt about 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old, just about wet her pants, to tell you the truth, as she said, Mom, Dad.
This is all happening in a time. I mean, it's hard for people who live in this technology world today to imagine what it took to pull something like that off back in that day. You guys were truly the MacGyvers of electronics. How do you got all that stuff to work with chicken wire and That was even before duct tape.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. Steve said we use the PA system. If you can imagine the horns you see at a football field or something that are up on the post, for some reason, Steve and I had a couple of those we'd probably gotten from the Y Circus or something, but we had these huge horns, and so we put them up on the deck of his boat, and they were huge, and we took this power amplifier and we put an inverter in there, so we had our own little power system, and when Steve said we could fill the valley, you could yell, ho, 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 and then be quiet, and literally hear it, ho, 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 back off the
sound of music all over again.
And it was
the hills are alive.
And you know, it took a special kind of an evening, and I will say that the one that we're talking about, the Slogenhop Martinson visit year, and we went all the way out to see Uncle Mac Cox, by the way. That was one of those absolutely flat, calm, just a real light snow falling, but pitch black. The boat was absolutely, you could not see the boat out on the lake. And it was a mystery to those people. Where is he?
That's funny. When did Santa graduate from a boat to a helicopter?
That's a good story. It was, what, how long, 10 years later? No, 5 years, 7 years later?
That would have been in like the late 70s, I think.
That would be about right, yeah.
So, Jerry, helicopter Santa, I know that is something you did. I don't know, you can tell us how many years you did it, but it got a lot of notoriety, got a lot of publicity, was featured on a Spokane television station. I've seen some of that footage, and you and Steve again were instrumental in getting out and doing that stuff. But kind of tell us how that all came together. Where did Helicopter Santa land, or did he go to different locations? Who was the pilot? How did the whole thing come about?
Let's just back up and say that the host of the show that did it was John Kowski. John Christopher Kowski, and John worked with Steve and I at KMEL in Wenatchee, so we were no strangers. And when John heard about what Steve and I were doing over at Chelan, he called and said, can we come and do a show? And we said, hang on, we'll get back to you. So then we put together the arrangements with the Manson merchants, the Manson business community, they put together a marketing program, and people went into the stores in Manson and registered their names and addresses and their kids' names and their want list, et cetera. And then Mr. Steve on the ground orchestrated kind of a flight path and kind of a route that Santa would fly on the day that we flew. And we flew, I believe, 2 or 3 weekends the first year. I'm not sure. It was maybe at least 2 weekends, I'm sure. And we put a PA, we put a two-way radio system in the helicopter, and then the kids could listen on the radio, and here would come Santa, and Steve was on the ground, and we were talking back and forth. So there was a lot, but Santa would say, well, we're headed now for the Wall House, and my gosh, there's Jamie Wall up there in the tree, and he was, by the way.
with his AM radio sitting by his ear.
And listening, you know, And I remember, actually, I would say this. There came a point at which Santa was so focused on what he was doing that he wasn't paying attention. But I looked up once, and we were under the power lines in between two tall pine trees, and I thought, I sure hope we make this.
Well, let's talk about Cal Kelly, because he was the guy who made sure you made it.
No, he was good.
He was our pilot and owned that helicopter and part of his ownership at Cascade Helicopters. He was kind of our duty helicopter for a whole lot of different experiences.
Absolutely.
Wasn't he? And the helicopter stand, and we had little boards on the side that said Cozy on it, we put on when we went to work.
You know, maybe, Dennis, we should tie a link to this. And there is the video of that production 1 year is still online. You can post it and share that with your
readers. Yeah, that would be fun to do. Put it up on the website and let people get a look at that.
The funny thing is, one of the things you will see is Santa jumping out of the helicopter at Peterson's and running over, and there's Cappy. And who were some of the other kids there?
I can't remember, but, you know, Cappy's now, what, 40? Yeah, he's probably around 40 years old.
This is a few weeks ago we're talking about here.
You know, this is a bit back.
And, gosh, just a lot of, you know, I have to tell you that every year I get emails from kids and people that say, I remember this, or I remember you, or whatever. And it is rewarding. I mean, it's just it's a great memory. And I think it's a great memory for people. But so we did it for a couple of years, at least, in Manson. We actually went north one year, and we did it up in Brewster and that area, but it was harder. And I can't remember all the reasons. The logistics. Actually, Steve's knowledge of Manson was critical because he could take the, all of those addresses and make some sense out of them. And he was actually the air traffic controller in many ways, in both on air.
He was Rudolph.
Yeah, he was clearly Rudolph. And I think if you watch the program, you kind of get that out of the TV crew that produced that program actually did an incredible job of making sense of a complex story. What a great experience, though.
We spoke a bit about being in Manson, for instance, for Helicopter Santa, and somewhat here in Chelan. It brings to mind that the radio station back then, and for a good number of years, set the tone for Christmas in the Valley with Santa, with music, with all sorts of things to bring the communities together.
Absolutely. I think we all know that and interestingly, early on, I'll go back to say 1970, 1971, it would have been inappropriate to kick off Christmas the day after Thanksgiving. It was just too close. And if you did, people didn't like it. But that changed and moved over time, and until finally, then you had, what do you call it, Black Friday now? Whenever we kicked off our Christmas promotion on air, which was music, was commercials that were Christmas commercials with Christmas music, et cetera, you could just feel the spirit.
And Santa, though. Santa was key to being to that whole thing.
Well, that's perhaps, you know, ho, ho, ho. But it was fun, and I have to tell you something. The spirit of Christmas is very, very special. And to be able to have it in such a condensed mode in this compacted valley was really a special thing. I think it'd be really hard to do what we did successfully in a large market.
Jerry, you transitioned from, not Santa, but from Helicopter Santa, and still kept the spirit of the holidays alive with Santa Claus here in the Lake Chelan Valley and with the radio station and lots of appearances and coming in on fire trucks and coming in on various modes. And one of the things that I recall, and this is many years after you were doing Helicopter Santa, but when I arrived in the early 90s, and there weren't cell phones back then, we were using the two-way radios to communicate back and forth, and Santa had his own, and we were able to communicate from the radio station, from the control room, or even out in the field. Like, we would be staffed with radio personnel when Santa was going to arrive that night. It'd be dark out and cold and waiting for the lights to come on and for Santa to arrive and be able to communicate with Santa Claus and kind of get an idea of where he was, and so people could get a sense of when he was maybe going to land in downtown Chelan. That was a fun, for me, that was a very memorable event.
You know, what's really interesting is that there were lots of reasons for those call-ins and those suspense leading up to. Sometimes it was literally a case of Santa wasn't ready, needed to buy some time, so he was stuck in a snowstorm over the North Pole or whatever. But in reality, there was some, I think there's some real value in the anticipation you also built in the kids' minds, you know, and because kids would later say, well, Santa, I was worried about you. You know, you had me scared. You weren't going to make it this year. And you do know that I've moved, don't you? And Santa would say, ho, 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 well, you moved to the brown house, right next door to the White House. Yeah. How did you know, Santa?
I remember one special occasion that I'm sure that stands out in your mind. A lot of kids came with gifts for Santa or would sing for Santa. There's one that stands out in my mind, Jimmy Timmons.
Jimmy Timmons. I actually was trying to find the audio, but Jimmy Timmons was how old, 6 or 7?
Probably 6.
And he had cancer. And he was the son of Paul Timmons and Mr. and Mrs. Timmons. And Paul was had the shoe shop.
Chelan Shoe Shop and Repair. Chelan Repair.
Yeah,
Goldsmith Lucerne right. is.
Yeah, and so Jimmy came in and he sang a song for Santa, and it was, "Here's a great big gift of joy from a very little boy, Merry Christmas," and it was just classic. And we actually used that little cut of audio for years, and we added it to a jingle that we had, a musical jingle, a KOZI jingle, and it. And towards as we got up closer to the holiday, to Christmas Day, we would actually do that going into the top of the hour in the news. We'd say, we'd play that audio and then the KOZI jingle as well. It was just, but you know what? Radio is theater of the mind, and adding all that stuff together, a lot of continuity, a lot of love, a lot of great memories.
We all have seen the mall Santa Claus, where he sits in a mall and kids come up and they say hi and he goes, ho, ho, ho. The combination of doing Santa Claus and then broadcasting that, putting that into the theater of the mind, was what the magic was. That's where it all happened. One year I remember Santa Claus wasn't feeling all that well and Mr. Ray had to step in and help out. I have never had more regard for you in my life. I thought, oh, he makes it look easier. This will be simple. To be Santa Claus, to broadcast on the radio, to have mom and dad and the kids sitting in your lap, I mean, that is it's a tense environment, and you've got to know Santa's mind and heart in order to be able to make that work.
I remember well that year because I was your sidekick. I was Santa's sidekick for 30, 40 years, but I was your sidekick that day, your straight man or whatever, and you were sweating it.
It was, and I'm comfortable around kids. I mean, we have five of our own.
You're comfortable speaking to groups. You're comfortable exactly. On the air. All these, but boy, I put that suit
being
on.
Being Santa Claus, it's like there's a responsibility there. There's a trust that you end up owning during that time, and it's like that's really pretty. It's special and it's difficult.
So was that whole thing a blur for you, Ray? Do you recall any of the stories that you heard from the kids or any of that? Or was it just like, man, I'm glad to have that done?
No, it was one of those kind of times where you just kind of went back at the end of that. I think we did it three or four times during the season that year. And I remember looking back at each of those days and going, man, that was really, really, it was hard, but it was really good. It's just a
gratifying. Satisfying.
Exactly.
And that's when you found out that it's real hard to go to the bathroom with a Santa suit?
I think I hear Rudolph on the roof, Santa. Yeah,
there's Rudolph.
Time to get Santa out of his chair.
Actually, Ray, you're absolutely correct about the stresses. I always think about the unexpected. It came to where I learned to be able to hopefully respond. But as you were interviewing the kids, talking to the kids, you were also really, if you were smart, you were watching the parents and the rest of the crowd and keeping your eye on the whole thing, trying to measure everything. Mom was trying to tell you no and yes and taking pictures, and grandma was there. But, you know, so Santa would find the absolutely adorable 6-year-old, 5-year-old young girl, and Santa, ho, 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 what would you like for Christmas? And, you know, and the little girl would break down and cry and say, I want my doggy to come home, you know, or my dad or whatever. And what do you say? You give him a hug.
Santa was a great hugger.
You know, and a lot of compassion. I will tell you this, and Steve and I did it more than once. There were kids that came that, therefore, on Christmas Eve, we delivered. And that was just something we did. I'll just leave it at that. People touched our hearts a lot, but it was a two-way street. That's all I can say is that I'm not sure who had more fun, really, whether the kids, the community, the parents, or the broadcast team that did it. But we all had a great time.
I got to ask you, Jerry, was there ever any one child that just said something so outlandish or so funny or so whatever that you just had a hard time gathering yourself to get a response?
Well, Steve will laugh at this, but yeah, there are, and those probably some of those we can't even tell, but there's one that's borderline that we can tell, and that was David Cox, and ho, 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 why, there's my friend David. David, what have you been doing today? And David says, well, just fiddly farting around.
There were, and Jer alluded to it, but there were numbers of occasions where a family situation or a situation with one young person or those kinds of things that would really touch our hearts, and we'd maybe end up going to their home on Christmas Eve with gifts or just drop in and spread a little holiday cheer. And that was always on Christmas Eve, and usually at 6-7 o'clock in the evening. There were other visits that we did always to the Lippincott House down to Aston Drug to play football, Nerf football in the aisles, or whatever. We did those kinds of things, but put the Santa suit on and go out and visit homes and families and stuff. I remember those.
In particular, Joyce and Bill Lippincott at the time lived on the river in what's now Riverwalk Park, and they always invited the Cozy Crew before we moved off of Wooden Avenue, they invited us down to their home on Christmas Eve for a little Christmas cheer. And interestingly, when we started, that was a small group of people, maybe four or five, maybe six. By the time we moved off of Wooden Avenue, our staff size was, along with family and friends, was just huge. And it was probably good we moved and took the pressure off of Joyce, but their hospitality was incredible, which just brings me up to another one of those points is that it was that kind of a welcoming that I look back on that made the entire journey, the 30 years of Cozy Radio, just such a joy. Steve and I, Ray, you came in the earlier part, and Dennis, you came and enjoyed a lot of it. But I have to tell you, this community took us in, gave us a big hug, and said, welcome. We were called the kids at the radio station. And you know what? That used to really bug me. Now I look back and I think, thank you.
call me kid anytime you'd like me now. Yeah.
Yeah. We were pretty young. Steve was 25. I was 25. We were pretty young.
Can you imagine, Jerry, what it would be like now if you were doing Santa with all the tools that are available, a whole different kind of a situation with obviously cell phones, but wireless microphones, almost studio broadcast quality from any remote location, tracking Santa Claus you can do now on your phone via satellite. It's a little bit different scenario than it was. And I think what you touched on, I heartily agree with, is that Theater of the Mind was I won't say easier, but I think it was a more impressive thing to have back in the day, perhaps, than now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, let me just pause and tell you that Ray was talking about the year that he stepped in and how difficult it was. There was another year I was involved with the city, and so I was unable to go. But I could do the show, but I couldn't go at the store that night, so we just went on the air from the studio. And so I just walked in my street clothes and sat down at the microphone, and we took phone calls. And frankly, it was flat. And we took a commercial break, and I went in and put on my clothes and came back out, and the show just went off and just went like a firecracker.
It's truly the magic of Santa Claus.
It was absolutely. So many ways. And it was, I tell you what, I tell people that story often, that there was just a mind shift that happened, and I knew that when you put on those clothes, it was like you went in a phone booth, you know, and you came out the other side, and but what a joy! I mean, that's the most important thing, and gosh, I can't say enough about the great memories. I have to tell you, what a joy!
And it's nice to see that you're wearing Santa red here today to kind of get in the spirit of things.
It's nice to be in this.
Ray, how about you? Do you got any special memory of those times in Santa Claus on the radio, or maybe even just tie it into your own family and whatnot?
I can remember Santa coming and visiting the Dobbs kids. You know, of course, we had a house full. There were five of them. And then Santa kind of coming up unexpectedly. We would have a thing called Christmas Snow. Mr. Steve would go on and record Christmas Eve music and then Christmas Day stuff. And when we finished wrapping up Christmas Snow, usually, what, about 4 o'clock, Steve, something like that, we'd get done. And we'd all kind of give hugs, and we'd Merry Christmas each other and go back to our families then. I remember Santa coming up to the Dobbs house all in full regalia and sitting down with the Dobbs kids and talking to them one-on-one. We brought them all the time. Whenever we were broadcasting, they always showed up. They have those. My kids have the memories of Santa Claus. We should have them here at the microphone because they did it for a lot of years. You know, that was, they grew up with Santa Jerry.
One thing that would be fun to do, and I just say this to those that might listen, there were lots and lots of pictures taken. Sometimes Errol Andrews took them. Sometimes people brought their own cameras. Sometimes others took them. But anybody with a cell phone that could take a picture of a picture and just maybe mail it to you and gather a collection of pictures, it would be fun to have just as a kind of a memory, not just a memory of that era and that event. I mean, when I think of Cappy Peterson as an example, and I see him today, a very, very mature adult man, it's just like, wow. And anyway, anybody that has pictures of their kids or themselves sitting on Santa's lap looking in the back in the past, I'd love to see them.
That would be great. And Jerry, they can do that very easily. I'll put this little plug in now then, and hopefully we'll get some. And you had a great idea. If you don't have a copy of it, cell phones are good enough now, as long as what you're taking a photo of is pretty good. Just snap a photo of it and send it on to info, I-N-F-O, at lakechelannow.com. Info at lakechelannow.com, and just put on their Santa pic or Santa photo or whatever, and we'll be happy to go through them. That would be fun.
One of my favorites was Officer Marv Stocker, Chelan Police Department. And he came in and sat on Santa's lap, and we have a picture of him, and I just recently found that, and I'm going to try to dig it out.
One of the things that...
Thanks, Ray.
Ho, ho, ho! Ray Dobbs had to leave us. He's got a meeting to go to, but we appreciate him coming by and sharing with us.
One of the things that I reflect on a bit when we think Santa, helicopter Santa, the use of the helicopter at the radio station a lot through the... Cal Kelly's ownership of it, and at the time a partner in Cascade Helicopters, is one, I got the helicopter bug and got to do a bunch of flight hours with Cal as a student, but my kids were able to fly numbers of times with Cal and myself and Santa in a couple instances, to the point where my youngest became a professional helicopter pilot. Until recently, working with the largest heavy lift operation in the world and doing a lot of work in Afghanistan. And my older son, Stacy's, got the helicopter bug as well. And he's taken some hours of flight instruction also. So that's one thing that in our family, anyway, is we've got a lot of flight hours out of it, if nothing else.
Absolutely. The seeds that get planted, that's the thing that I think of most is... If you look at that whole energy and the synergy of all that came out of that whole event, pretty special. By the way, it should give tribute to Koitaket, as we're mentioning, the Manson event, the late Koitaket. When we had this idea of doing the Manson promotion, we went to Koi and to Nikki Ellison, and the two of them understood what our proposal was. Cal Kelly gave Cozy an extremely good deal on the airtime, the flight time, which we were able to therefore turn right around and pass on to the Manson merchants. The promotion itself cost us more than we were reimbursed by the Manson business community, but the promotional value to the radio station and therefore to the community and to the whole, to all of us, was so much more. What a good example of good karma that the story lives on. And memories live on. How could you argue with that? I mean, sometimes counting pennies is the wrong way to value things.
Well, guys, it's been fun talking about past Christmases and the way that it was inspired by Santa Claus here locally with a number of different fashions. Certainly Helicopter Santa being one of that. Jerry, I would really want to give you a big pat on the back because, it takes a special person to do that for as long as you did it, and you pulled it off, and you did it so well. But I think people, you are who you are as Jerry, but for a lot of people, yeah, that's Santa too. So you have that dual personality going on. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. We should make mention that Dale England has picked up some of the slack on this, and Dale would have been probably one of the kids that sat on Santa's lap at one time, and obviously Dale in his capacity picked it up and has taken it again. Good for him.
They landed Santa in Leffler Field this year in Manson, and so that was pretty cool. They had a big turnout that came for that, and I don't know if you've seen, Jerry, but now there's a big push in Manson. They're trying to actually purchase Leffler Field and keep it for all kinds of community activities like that.
I'll send you a picture, but I have a picture of Santa landing in the center of downtown Manson. What's the name of those two streets?
I was just trying to think of that because I have the same picture in my office framed. It was the Santa landing on an orchard trailer in the intersection downtown Manson, wow, right across from where the Preet's place is now. And the Trout Building. And if you look at that confined space, and me having been a student of helicopters and barely able to put it down in a football field,
and look, how did at, he
look
do
at that?
That
and yes, it, Cal did an amazing job in and amongst a crowd of people, doing what it is that we asked him to do, and that was an amazing shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Dennis, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Jerry, we appreciate it. Ray Dobbs, of course, for being with us, who had to scoot out for a meeting. But the memories are always fun to go back. Guys, I think we're going to have to do this maybe, I don't know, at least twice a year, maybe once a quarter or something. Find some topic, or go backwards a little bit in the Wayback Machine and regurgitate it and bring it back up. What do you think, Jerry?
I think it's a great idea. I don't think we'd have any shortage of great memories.
Bunch of stories and information about numbers of topics and news events that we, four of us, had been a part of for the past half century.
Well, that's going to do it for us today on this holiday edition, special edition of Making Waves here on LakeshoreLineNow.com. Steve Bykus, Dennis Rahm, Ray Dobbs, Jerry Eisenhart, Santa, special appearance.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
So long. We'll see you next time.